Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to think about the holidays. Time to think about Brewers Outlet. You want to make sure that you have something to bring to a party. You want to make sure you're fully stocked for your party when people stop by, drop by. Maybe you want to give gifts. Maybe you want to give a gift card. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, and you want to make sure you're fully stocked, so go stock up now. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. That pickle bar is second to none. Corey knows I love the dills. I love the barrels. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf in just a few moments. Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com and the Star Ledger. He's the beat writer for Rutgers football. We'll talk about that. 8 o'clock the kick tomorrow night, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK for the Dietz & Watson tailgate show. Before we get to Ryan, though, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Last night, Houston ruined Louisville's season, winning the game, the final 36-10. Key moment of the game in the first half, Dave Fleming and Jesse Palmer with the call as Houston goes for a fake punt.
Play call, the sequence, Houston's going to punt it again. Dane Roy, and they're faking it. The throw completed! First down! That was pretty remarkable. Byron Simpson, a tight end on special teams. And that was a heck of a pass.
Well, it was an unusual formation. Look at this. He's snapping right here. Everybody's lined up on that side. He's an eligible receiver because he's the end man on the line of scrimmage. Little trickeration by Tom Herman, the head coach, taking advantage. Louisville was completely fooled by that formation. And how about the throw by Dane Roy, the true freshman from Australia? Doesn't do that a lot, Australian rules rugby football. You can't throw it forward.
And that's our play-by-play call of the day. The fake punt last night. That was executed perfectly by Houston. Houston executed well all night long, especially on the defensive front. 11 sacks of Lamar Jackson last night. All right, let's bring in now Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com and the Star Ledger. And one of the interesting stories for Rutgers this year is their quarterback, Giovanni Rusciano. It's my understanding, Ryan, that he became the starting quarterback because the coaching staff was impressed by what he was doing on scout team.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story, actually. Yeah, Rutgers was playing Illinois a couple weeks back, and Illinois, that was when they had the two quarterback system. They didn't know if Wes Lunt was going to play or if Chase Crouch was going to play, and he's kind of a mobile guy, so they needed somebody to simulate that in practice, and Gio, who was probably the number two or three quarterback on the roster at the time, went down to the scout team unselfishly and volunteered to do it, and he did it so well that they, in that same game against Illinois, when Rutgers fell behind, they put him in the game, and he gave the offense a spark that Rutgers' offense has been pretty dead most of the season. He gave them a spark, and they basically rolled the dice. That's kind of where Rutgers' quarterback position is right now, where it's funny to think that Chase Crouch ended up getting injured and not playing for Illinois anymore, but if not for Chase Crouch, who knows who Rutgers' starting quarterback would be right now.
Well, do you know who the Rutgers' starting quarterback is? Because obviously Rusciano got pulled in that game and the freshman was put in.
Yeah, it's Gio. Tyler Odin, the freshman, he's played in probably six or seven games so far this season. They have a package for him. It's not a great surprise package. It's for him to run the ball like in a high school offense. But, yeah, he's not going to start. He plays situationally just to get him some exposure. They've already used his – they burned his red shirt. So it's just to get him some exposure in case he's the quarterback of the future. But he's not a good enough passer to play regularly. Geno will play this week and next week as the starting quarterback.
Kyle Flood had his own way of building the team, and he wanted to build a power football team. Chris Ash and his staff are more of a spread offense team. Has this been a case at times, not completely, but at times of trying to fit square pegs into round holes?
I mean, you say at times, I think it's generous. I think it's been completely a case of that, yes. I think that's exactly what you're looking at. The scheme is not a fit for the personnel. The personnel hasn't really adapted to it. The scheme hasn't really adapted to it. I understand what Ash is doing. I actually think it's a smart idea. Why sell the long term in favor of the short term? His kind of plan is to expose the freshmen and the sophomores and even the juniors to this offense now, rather than throw away a year this year and then install it next year. I mean, it's just going to eventually they're going to all have to learn it, and some poor senior class is going to be the one that was a poor fit for it, and he chose to make it his first senior class. So eventually they were going to have to learn what he wants to do. He was going to do this all along. So he just went with it from the jump, and that's kind of what you're seeing right now.
All right, Ryan, what did the Jadarian Grant injury mean as a domino effect to this whole football team?
Ruined the season, pretty much. I mean, that's as bluntly as I could say it. I mean, you never know how much of a difference one football player would make, but he was so clearly head and shoulders the best playmaker on this team on either side of the ball and on special teams. NCAA tied for the NCAA career record in special teams touchdowns. He's a wide receiver, and he had 6 touchdowns in 3 games, and none of them were catching the ball. I think that shows you what his impact is. He had, I believe it was 3 rushing touchdowns. 3 rushing touchdowns in the first couple games as a Wildcat quarterback, 2 on special teams, and 1 throwing the ball on a trick play. So you never know how much of an impact one player would have. I don't want to say they would have beat this team or they would have beat that team, but they do have 3 losses, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana, by a combined 15 points. It'd be hard to see Jadarian not scoring at least a couple touchdowns in those games. Who knows what happens from there, but yeah, it took the wind out of the sails, so to speak, because they just don't have another guy who can step into any of those roles, let alone one of them.
The running backs, Goodwin looks like he's the best receiver of the group, and then Martin and Hicks. What's your thought on that running back rotation they have?
I got in quite a bit of trouble with Penn State fans in the past.
I know.
Talking about Rutgers running backs, but here's my assessment: I thought they'd be better than they've been, to be honest with you. Josh Hicks and Robert Martin have had 2 productive seasons as freshmen and sophomores. Hicks has been kind of disappointment. He hasn't gotten many carries. They mid-season they shifted him to defense. Now he didn't actually play. He just practiced there. Now he's back on offense. He's not getting many looks, many touches. They've come up with a special package just to try to get something out of him, the special 2 halfback set package that they've used the last couple games just to get a little more out of Hicks. Martin's the best running back of the bunch. He's got vision. He's a home run threat. He's a good player, but he's been injured. I mean, he's had a lot of nagging injuries. He's missed 3 games with injuries this season. Only had 8 carries last week against Michigan State. And Goodwin's probably the best for the spread offense in terms of he can pass block a little bit on third downs. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's shifty. He's got the moves, but he's not a tackle breaker. So if you get him, and obviously Penn State's got some pretty good linebackers I'm familiar with as a Jersey guy. I covered Jason Kabinda in high school. Justin Goodwin's not going to break a Jason Kabinda tackle like Robert Martin might, but he also might be able to shake it off, which right. Robert Martin can't.
You mentioned linebacker. Let's get to the linebacking situation at Rutgers. How decimated have they been by injuries with that group?
They've been decimated before the injuries. I mean, here's the bottom line. Rutgers came into the season, all their linebackers on their roster had a combined one career start.
Right.
Steve Longo left early for the pros, didn't get drafted. Kywan Lewis was a graduate transfer last year. He's gone. Quentin Gauze is on a practice squad in the NFL. So they came in needing three new starters. Those three new starters came in. The best one of that bunch had a career-ending neck injury, a scary situation at Ohio State. That was Greg Jones.
Yeah.
His career is over. Another one, Najee Clayton, quit the team. And so they've been left now with – they started thin, and now they're on linebackers 3, 4, 5 as the starters, and even those guys are banged up. So I've heard James Franklin talk quite a bit about how Penn State has had a rash of injuries at linebacker. I think Rutgers could go toe-to-toe with the woe is me on that linebacker situation.
Up front, what's been your thought of the guys up front, especially Hamilton?
I think that was supposed to be the strength of Rutgers' team, and I think they've defense, and I think they've underachieved. I mean, Rutgers is at the bottom of the Big Ten in rushing defense. I know that's a bit, that's an all-11 kind of thing, but you look at rushing defense and you look at the line, that's kind of where you're supposed to see it. So Hamilton obviously was injured last season. He's the biggest name recruit in Rutgers history. He's a warrior. The team loves him. He takes as many snaps as he can. I don't know if he's even fully recovered from the knee injury he had last year, but he's out there all the time. He's trying to make plays. He hasn't had a very productive season stat-wise, but he's still a guy that demands some double teams. The guy who's had the best season on Rutgers defensive line by far is Julian Pinnock-Zodrick, which should be a familiar name out there because his brother Jared went to Penn State, and he's been on the end, and he filled in for Darius in the middle last season, and he looks like he finally found a home as a defensive end at 4.5 sacks. A couple forced fumbles. He's had a nice season for Rutgers.
What have you seen in the secondary?
A lot of sophomores and a lot of freshmen. Rutgers secondary was awful for 3 years in a row under Kyle Flood and former defensive coordinator Joe Rossi. Well, Ash's thing is pass defense in general. He brought in a bunch of guys who are former secondary coaches. Dedicated two spots of his 9 to secondary coaches plus his defensive coordinator. It's hard to tell, right? It's one of those things. Is Rutgers good in the pass defense because they're good in the pass defense, or are they good in the pass defense because everybody's running on them? I think it's probably a little of both. I think that they've much improved, and I like the idea going forward that they have pretty much 2 starting cornerbacks who are sophomores and 2 starting safeties who are sophomores. So in 2 years, that could be a really strong point of the team. I mean, I think Bless Austin and Isaiah Wharton, the 2 corners, have played pretty well, and Saquon Hampton and Kai Hester hadn't played in a game together. They had alternating. Hampton got hurt in the first game and missed 5, and when he came back, Hester got hurt and missed 3. So this is only going to be their 2nd or 3rd game playing together. So I think the future is bright there, and it's probably the strength right now, though it could be masked by how much teams have just been able to pound the ball.
What is the reaction of the fan base? It's the first year of a brand-new coaching staff. Where is the fan base right now?
I think it's probably somewhere down the middle. I mean, obviously the most vocal people are the ones who are critics who say this isn't getting any better, but I think the majority of the fan base who you don't necessarily hear from as much are the people who understand that this is a process. I mean, they've been through this before. It's Rutgers. They saw Greg Schiano have to build it up. So they know what it can take. They were 8-5 2 years ago in the Big Ten, so they know that they can. It's just Rutgers is one of those places that you have to recruit well, then you have to develop the play. You have to get the 3 stars and develop them into 4 stars by the time they're, you know, redshirt juniors and play them. And, you know, a Michigan State model program, that's kind of what they have to be. Where you get good underlooked players and you develop and you win your state recruiting battles, and that's kind of what they have to be. So I think people understand that. Going back to the square peg round hole analogy, I mean, I think most people see that. You know, this was always going to be a tough first year, and now listen, that doesn't mean they're not going to sell their tickets on Saturday, but they're not exactly calling for the coach to get canned either.
Well, no, I understand that. I didn't know, you know, in other words, look, I'm sick of waiting, or I'm going to give him a chance. And that does bring me to the last question. How well have they drawn And what do you expect as a draw on Saturday night?
I think that's the most interesting thing. I mean, I know they're trying, which I think is interesting. I don't know if news of it has made its way up there. I know Penn State's a big wrestling community. Rutgers is doing a really neat thing this weekend. They're doing a 11 a.m. outdoor wrestling match on the football field. I know it's something Iowa did last year.
Yeah, with Oklahoma State, yeah.
Rutgers is doing it with Princeton, top 25 caliber wrestling team. Rutgers is a top 10 caliber wrestling team. So they're wrestling outside on the football field, trying to get everybody out there early, give them a day of, hey, come to this and tailgate and come back for the football game. I said, I'm sure they're hoping some Penn State wrestling diehards make it in for the wrestling match. So I expect, I mean, I've checked the ticket secondary marketplaces and not a lot of cheap tickets Rutgers fans giving away. I think for the most part they'll draw because Rutgers fans dislike Penn State. So if this was Maryland coming to town or Iowa coming to town, I think you'd see a lot more tickets on the market. I think Rutgers fans will want to come just because for the exact reason that they'll want to keep Penn State fans out. But they have not drawn great this year. Season low was in the 37s, I believe. It's a 52 capacity stadium.
Right.
But Michigan was a sellout a couple weeks ago. That game obviously was 78-0. So probably some people distasted from that will sell their tickets, but I don't think it'll be an overwhelming 50-50 crowd or anything like that. Maybe 70-30.
Okay. Hey, Ryan, great pleasure. Thanks so much. I enjoyed having you on and listening to your thoughts.
Thanks. Anytime.
Ryan Dunleavy, NJ.com, and the Star Ledger beat writer who covers Rutgers football as Penn State will play Rutgers tomorrow night in Piscataway at 8, airtime 6:30 for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show. It's a big weekend of sports. By the way, Selinge Grove is going to be hosting a playoff game tonight. If you want to catch a really good high school football game between two high-level high school football teams, State College is playing Williamsport tonight at Selinge Grove. This will be quite a matchup. So I think it's going to be a very good game between them. State College coming off a big win over Erie McDowell. But two really good teams head-to-head tonight in Selinge Grove. Just in case you want to catch a high school game along the way. Fordham taking on Bucknell tomorrow. Senior day at Christy Mathewson Stadium. Hopefully you can get out there for that. By the way, Kevin Herr is going to have the call on that game tomorrow. Kevin will do a great job with it. And so that's coming up. Also coming up tomorrow, I believe it or not, Duke, the number one ranked team in the country, takes on Penn State at the Mohegan Sun. The game will start at 12:30 tomorrow, but Penn State and Duke from the Mohegan Sun. That's quite a tournament, in fact. It's the Hall of Fame Classic. They used to play it up in Springfield, and now they play at the Mohegan Sun. As somebody who has done a game in Springfield and somebody who's done a game at the Mohegan Sun, I can tell you that they made the right choice winning it at the Mohegan Sun. But this tournament reminds me a little bit of the Fiesta Bowl basketball classic that Penn State played in 1989. It was the 89-90 season. And they played it in Tucson at the McHale Center. And the teams involved in that were Arizona, ranked in the top 5, Purdue ranked in the top 15, Wake Forest was ranked 25th in Penn State. All four teams came into that tournament 7-2. Penn State lost Arizona, but then beat Wake Forest 67-63. It was a great high-level tournament. Listen to the teams that are in this bracket for Penn State. Number one, Duke. Right? Then after that, number 21, Rhode Island, and number 24, Cincinnati and Penn State. It's quite a tournament. And Penn State will play Duke tomorrow. That will be at 12:30. Of course, the game tomorrow night you'll hear on News Radio 1070 WKOK will be Penn State taking on Rutgers. And that will again be at High Point Solutions Stadium in Piscataway. That game will be kicking off at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And that means an airtime of 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So it's going to be quite a matchup between the two, only because Penn State needs the game. I mean, Penn State needs the game. That's what it comes down to. And Rutgers does play better at home. There's no question about that. They do play better at home. So I give them credit for that, except for Michigan, obviously. But they played Illinois decently at home. They played Iowa really tough at home. They were good at home against Indiana. I mean, the problem Indiana has, they kept turning the ball over in that game. And Penn State just needs to avoid that. You know, get out early. Don't make mistakes. Don't let Rutgers hang around. All right? So, I mean, that's it. Control your own destiny. Right? Your own destiny can only be controlled by you winning the game. Right? Then everything else, you know, which is out of your control, it's out of your control. Just control what you can control. It's the Sean Carey theory of life. We've all adopted it. Control what you can control. Well, maybe Sean didn't say it first. All right. Final half hour includes Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's holiday season. It's really one of the, I mean, I think it's one of the great, great times of the year. I know for me it is. I mean, we look at, I mean, from my perspective, it's football season, it's basketball season at the same time, it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, it's New Year's. Some of you, of course, obviously celebrate Hanukkah. People are coming over, it's festive, it's fun. You want to make sure you're ready for all of that. Go stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, because they have the best selection of beer, imports, domestics, microbrews, whatever you want, they have it. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, plenty of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. The pickle bar is second to none. And they, you know, I love the dills and the barrels, but they have a great selection of pickles at the pickle bar. They do a great job with it. Store's really well laid out. Plenty of help there in case you need any help getting the cases out to the vehicle. They do a great job at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It also makes great gifts and gift cards as well. So keep that in mind. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You know what else makes a great gift? Vehicle. Oh, yeah. Buy it for yourself. Sunbury Motors. That's where you go. Sunbury Motors. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Rich Scarcella, the Reading Eagle, time now for our sports bozo of the day. And it goes to the National Football League. Now, as you well know, I really loved and really enjoyed our trip to Ireland. And, of course, what made it enjoyable is Penn State won the game. But the NFL, they're playing games in London. They're playing games in, they're going to play a game in China. Now they get this game in Mexico City. Okay. Well, this game in Mexico City is something that is, it's turned into a bizarre situation for the Houston Texans. because they had to put out a memo. And, of course, look, I'm somebody who's around Bill O'Brien for a while, so I know how Bill O'Brien thinks and feels about things. And this memo that he put out is exactly the MO of Bill O'Brien. But listen to this. You're going to play a foreign game. You're going to go to Mexico City. The Associated Press obtained a memo distributed by the team that included a page of information concerning the trip to Mexico and two rules. A section of the memo was under the heading of safety and had a bullet point. Capital letters, do not leave the hotel. It was followed by a line advising players to leave all expensive jewelry at home and not to bring large sums of money and not to use the ATMs. The second section was entitled Health and Performance. It had basic tips like drinking only bottled water, avoiding the consumption of ice. It also warned eat meals, all meals, in the meal room. Do not order room service and do not eat outside the team meal room. Now, the precautions the Texans have provided the players are not uncommon for any foreigners who travel to Mexico. Executives visiting the city for business are often given the same warnings from their companies to avoid leaving the hotel without security. Yes, this is where you want to play your games? Really? This is where you want to play? The rule about room service could be related to a memo the NFL sent out to players when it came to a couple of things. And one of them was there, even though it's now been banned, there is a certain steroid that is in meat that could end up, I mean, not everybody in Mexico, by the way, follows this rule. And that's what they're concerned about, because you might eat meat in Mexico, either from room service or as an outside meal. And guess what? You then might, there's a possibility you might then fail the NFL drug test. That's why they're telling the players not to eat meat outside. Clenbuterol is what the positive test would be for. So the memo told the players to take caution if you decide to consume meat and understand that you do so at your own risk. Clenbuterol has been banned in Mexico as a growth enhancer for cattle, but it's suspected to still be there, that not everybody follows the rules there. I know you're shocked by this. Oakland didn't get the same memo. In fact, Raiders defensive tackle Dan Williams said, look, I'm going to bring my own food anyway. He says, I'm on a strict diet, so I have to watch what I eat. No room service for me. I can't afford to sneak and cheat. But so you're going to play a game where you can't leave the hotel, you can't bring jewelry, you can't go to the ATM, you can't eat room service, you can't drink the water, you can't have the ice, and essentially you can't have any outside meals. This is where you want to take your league. This is where you want to play your game. I just want to make sure we got this all straight now. This is where you want to play. All right, let's bring in Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle. Rich, Penn State plays on the road last Saturday against a good football team. Indiana's not great, but they're a good football team playing at home. You don't really have your A game, yet you still win. What does that tell you about Penn State?
Well, I don't think we've learned anything other than anything new other than the fact that this Penn State team has toughness, resilience, perseverance. They've had now, what, three second-half comebacks when they've been down by double digits. Yeah. It reinforced what we've seen in them, that they're just a very, very mentally tough team, players and coaches.
What about the scotch tape job done on the offensive line?
I mean, we've
already discussed the linebacking component. What were your thoughts on how that played out, and where do you think it is right now?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, I think James Franklin, Joe Moorhead, and Matt Limegrover did all they could to keep the line together on Saturday. You know, everything transpires, and you're really trying to pay attention to a lot of things. I never saw when McGovern went out Connor McGovern went out exactly. I knew it was the fourth quarter. You know, Steven Gonzalez, who has hardly played, has to fill in and late in the game with, you know, in a tight game. They really held it together. I mean, they weren't great, but they kept trying and held things together and allowed Trace McSorley enough time to throw for 332 yards.
Also, I know a guy that James singled out in the postgame show with us was Derek Dowry, who had been a starter at the beginning, hasn't been. And he gave him a lot of credit for stepping in there and saying, hey, look, at least, you know, and he went out there and gave him some valuable minutes.
Well, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Derek, but, right. You know, they're down a lot of bodies now on the offensive line, and somebody had to step up, and, you know, and he did. And, you know, they couldn't run the ball effectively because of the way Indiana's defensive scheme that keyed everything on Saquon Barkley. But, you know, they held things together just enough for Penn State to pull that game out.
All right, what do you think about how everything broke this weekend?
Oh, it's incredible. It's just it's incredible. It's why sports is great. Because you don't expect things like Saturday to happen, but they happen all the time. And, you know, to see 2, 3, 4, 8, 9 lose on the same day was just stunning. And you know, if Penn State at number 10 had lost, it would have been a footnote.
Right. Interesting. The last time 2, 3, and 4 all lost on the same day.
Yeah.
I believe the team that ascended to number 1 was Penn State. In 1985.
I was in the Carrier Dome that day, and I was not working in sports at the time, and I was with my wife, and Penn State came from behind to beat Syracuse.
Yep.
24-20.
Yep.
And we were on a bus trip, and we stopped at some restaurant along I-81 and watched the end of the Michigan-Iowa game. I can remember that like it was yesterday. And you talk about weird. The quarterback for Michigan that game and that day in 1985 was none other than Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
And you know that the shock, Steve, is Iowa. I mean, is Iowa closer to the team that Penn State played or closer to the team that played Michigan? I mean, to bounce back like that after what has to be classified as a debacle to them, to bounce back, to get ready and beat a team that looked unbeatable, I think Kirk Ferentz deserves a ton of credit.
Oh, he absolutely does. The only point that we made going into the Michigan-Iowa game was this. I've always felt strongly that styles mean something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, team A can be B, B
yeah.
can beat C.
Yeah.
You know, tell me then why C beats A. Well, I felt Iowa played really well stylistically against Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Michigan is far more similar to Wisconsin than Penn State is.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I thought the style at least gave them a puncher's chance. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like I don't gamble. I don't believe you gamble. But
I don't. No. You know I don't.
Okay. Well, I just want to say this. When I saw that the folks in Vegas had made Michigan a 3-touchdown favorite, I said, there's no way they're going to win by that many points. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. I think Michigan will win, but I think it's going to be closer than that. And I didn't realize, I didn't believe that Iowa was going to pull it out. But yeah, it was stunning. And you know, now the question is, and I've already been asked this probably 5 times in the last 24 hours, is who do you think Ohio State? Who do you think wins between Ohio State and Michigan? And, you know, I've gone back and forth on this. I thought Ohio State was going to win the game until about 2-3 weeks ago. Then I thought Michigan. Now I'm not so sure. Ohio State right now is playing very, very well.
Yeah, they are.
And now, you know, Michigan has to kind of regroup and gather themselves.
Yeah, Michigan has Indiana this week.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State has Michigan State this week. Penn State, mm-hmm. of course, has the game at Rutgers, which we'll mm-hmm. talk about here in a moment, but I guess this is, you know, we always talk about how much we love college football. You know, the importance of each weekend is different than any other sport, and I think that's one of the reasons people love it so much, because every game does have a meaning to it.
Oh, for sure. And it's funny, even people thought that you would lose that
with the four-team college football playoff, and actually you haven't. It's enhanced it. Every game means something. I mean, it's really a lot of fun. I mean, we're driving back. There were three of us in the car. I was a passenger, and we're driving back from Bloomington after getting a bite to eat, and I put the Michigan-Iowa game on my phone because we couldn't pick it up on the radio in our car, and we were listening to that for the last 30 minutes or so on the way back to Indianapolis. And, you know, those things, that's just a lot of fun. I mean, we're listening to it so intently. Right now this is it's very interesting and it's very enjoyable.
Obviously, we don't know what the makeup of the offensive line is going to be mm-hmm. as of right now. And the coaches have obviously some decisions to make about mm-hmm. how they want to approach it. What's your thought about going into Rutgers night game? It is their senior mm-hmm. game and so forth. What are your thoughts on that game?
I would have thought it was going to be that they would pose some resistance after or before they played Michigan State. But by looking at that score, oh, my gosh. I don't know. I know Rutgers has a decent or an average or above average defensive line.
Yep.
I know their back seven isn't very good. I don't think it's going to be real easy. I mean, Penn State's going to win the game, but I don't think it's going to be 58-0. Let's put it that way.
Right. Also, the possibility. I mean, obviously, you know, Rutgers it's their home game.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think about the possibility of a lot of Penn State fans being there for a game like this? Because a lot of people are starting to really get on board with what's going on here.
Well, yeah, I'm curious to see. You know, let's see how. You know, I'm curious to see, A, how many Penn State fans go to Rutgers, and B, how many of them show up on November 26th to see them play Michigan State on Thanksgiving weekend, which has not drawn well. It doesn't draw well anywhere, and it hasn't drawn well at Penn State. So I'm really interested in seeing that. I don't know what to expect, to be honest. You know, 2 years ago when Penn State played Rutgers, it was the first Big Ten game in Rutgers history.
Right.
And the place was jammed, and it was jammed with Rutgers fans. I mean, there were Penn State fans there, but not as many as I thought there would be.
Right.
Because the Rutgers fans held on to their tickets. I think Rutgers' last home game against Indiana, they drew, I think, 40,000.
Right.
And the stadium holds about 52.
Yes.
So I think there'll be a good number of Penn State fans there, especially more than there were there 2 years ago. But how many, I just don't know.
All right. Now you've seen the body of work, 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Of Trace McSorley, a quarterback. Mm. What strikes you about him?
That I want him on my team.
Yeah.
He's a guy that a coach, I don't care what sport, you want him on your team. He's selfless. He's tough. He's fearless. You name it. You know, that's who I wrote about today. Well, I mean, a lot of the game story, of course, in yesterday's Reading Eagle was about him. But my column today is about how he embodies the toughness and resilience of this team better than any player on the roster. I just think my appreciation and admiration for him has grown a lot since the beginning of the season.
Right now for the toughest question, and it'll be the last question. What is the deal with your Green Bay Packers?
They're not very good. I mean, they do have a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to see the game yesterday. I was traveling. I listened after I landed in Philadelphia. I listened to the game on the way back to Reading. I listened to the Tennessee feed. They do have a lot of injuries, but you can't give up 47 points to the Tennessee Titans. They were out of the game. They were never in the game, and that's just inexcusable. And, you know, I think a change might be coming. I do.
All right. What do you think of Aaron Rodgers? Why, it seems like there really isn't a lot of change in him from this year to last year, and he's got Jordy Nelson this year.
Yeah, well, Jordy Nelson's still not who Jordy Nelson was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He had a good game yesterday.
That's a good point.
But he's not getting the separation that he got 2 years ago. Randall Cobb played yesterday. He's still dealing with a hamstring issue. You know, Adams had a big game. They have no running game. I mean, they have no running backs. I mean, James Starks returned yesterday, and they ran him a little bit. I guess they didn't want to, you know, overdo it, but he hadn't played in almost a month because of a torn meniscus. And I just think there's a lot of stuff going on. But I think Rodgers, I mean, when Rodgers gets, you know, if he could get receivers who get separation, he'll make the throws. He just, everything is on his shoulders. There's no running game. You know, they lost T.J. Lang and David Bakhtiari during the game yesterday, two offensive linemen. You know, just things are piling up, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to be their year.
So I saved the toughest two questions for last.
Okay.
anything about the Packers. Everybody doesn't realize Rich is a huge Packers and Yankees fan. So
that is true.
Rich, thanks so much, my friend. It's always great to hear you on the other end.
Thanks, Steve. My pleasure.
Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. Really one of the outstanding beat writers that cover this program. Rich always has great perspective. He takes the emotion out of it. He just tells you what he sees, and pro or con, doesn't get emotional about it. He just tells you what he sees, and I have great respect for Rich. Always have. And it's always great to have him on the show, and the fact that he wants to be on the show, that's terrific. All right, big weekend coming up. Penn State, they can control their own destiny just by winning the game. That's what it comes down to. What everybody else does, everybody else does. Alabama's got Chattanooga, Ohio State. Of course, they're ranked second. Michigan's got Indiana coming up. Wisconsin's got Purdue. Louisville's already lost. You know, Washington's got its game. Clemson's got its game. And Penn State, of course, will be in action taking on Rutgers tomorrow night at High Point Solutions Stadium. 8 o'clock will be the kick. We're on the air with the Dietz and Watson Tailgate Show beginning at 6:30 tomorrow evening. You can only control what is in front of you. You can't control what the other people are doing, but you can keep yourself in the conversation by winning. That is what Penn State needs to do tomorrow night against Rutgers. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Tony DeFazio of the Pittsburgh Sports Report, Bob Flounders, Patriot News, and PennLive.com, Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com and the Star Ledger, and Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle. And our thanks to you. All of you have been great. I appreciate all of you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow night from New Jersey on News Radio 1070 WKOK.